Well, now would be a great time for you to get your outline out. We'd love for you to have that so you can take notes. If God's saying anything to you, write it down. If God even brings an idea to your heart, that's what happened how this whole series came about. Just standing in a diner, seeing a magnet on a wheel of magnet car magnets that they were selling that said, enjoy life. And I'm paying the bill, and I saw that, and God impressed an idea on my heart. And that is, why don't we learn from the Bible how we can enjoy life? Because we all know there's a lot of people not enjoying life. And I fall into it every now and then, too. So that's how God kind of just impressed that idea upon my mind and my heart. And he'll do that tonight as you're working through this message together. So we'd like for you to have your outline for that. Also, you can take it and share it with a friend, something that you learned. We hear that all the time where people will say, I took out my outline and we talked about it over the breakfast table or over dinner table or even at work. So we'd love for you to have that for you. Now, a couple of years ago, an ad came up on my Facebook feed, and it was for a super cool backpack. It was a very rugged, military-style, large pack, and it really caught my eye. So about it, I thought about it, and you know, when you buy on those Facebook things, if you ever haven't done that, it'll come in about 8 months. It takes a long time for this stuff to show up. But anyway, as I was contemplating this, I came across another thing that I liked, and that was a pair of hiking shoes. I saw these cool hiking shoes, and I had been looking at that time in my life. I'm looking for new ways for me to stay active and to stay healthy. So putting these two together, I figured, hey, maybe I should start a career in backpacking. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, maybe even go pro. You know, I'll be a pro backpacker. I get big ideas when I sit down with something, right? So I ordered everything. Guess what? It shows up, and I thought, this is wonderful, because where I live, I have a lot of mountains, and I can go and put on my backpack and my hiking shoes, and I can go, and that's exactly what I did. Off I went up Jenny Jump Mountain. Yeah, that's where I went. You know Jenny Jump Mountain. Rob knows Jenny Jump Mountain. I went there. Well, first of all was well and good. I was doing pretty good. Got the big giant military backpack on, shoes are looking good, going to the woods. But, you know, you had left the road, and I didn't do trail, because that's not backpacking on a trail. I'm going woods, just walk through the woods like a deer would. So I'm going, and it was pretty good for a little while until I started to realize, you can get turned around out here. You know, there's no street light, there's no street. You know, I started losing my bearings. So it got a little tough, and I figured, but that's what backpack means, right? When you're backpacking, you travel to unfamiliar places, and you learn, you go, right? It's adventurous, right? That's what you do. You do that kind of stuff. So I was doing this, and I also noticed, as I started to lose my bearings, not knowing which way I had gone, which way I was going, I also noticed that my super cool military backpack was also, by being super cool, it was also super heavy. And this thing really weighed something. Add to that my inexperience, which led to me carrying this backpack with a lot of things that I didn't need. I didn't realize that you have to be careful when you pack. So I packed a lot of things I didn't need. And I also didn't really break in these shoes. They started killing my feet after a while. They were killing me. The hiking shoes are killing me. My back's killing me from the weight of the pack. And I'm like, oh boy. Long story short, after that day of hiking with the backpack, that was one-shot deal. The backpack is in the garage, if you're looking for it, and the hiking shoes are somewhere in the back of my closet. Now, I tell you all of this because if you are not enjoying life at this point, we've been through a lot of stuff. If you're not enjoying life after going through the first seven hurdles we looked at, one of the problems might be just that. You're backpacking. Yeah, you could be backpacking. Like me, you could be packing your knapsack like mine, which I had packed mine with an 8-pack of 16-ounce bottles of soda. An 8-pack's a lot of soda. And then, because I like it, I took a big case of yogurt with me. And that's what I'm carrying around in my military backpack. I'm carrying these things around that I shouldn't. And that's the first point in backpacking. If maybe you're not enjoying life, it's because you're backpacking. And here it is. When you're backpacking, if you've got this issue, you're carrying things that you shouldn't be carrying. I have a friend who has a very successful business. And he is happily married and he has four children. And as his children were reaching adulthood, and they were all kind of grouped together, he told me something that surprised me. He told me that he felt it was his responsibility to take care of his children financially. That's what he said to me. I have to take care, it's my responsibility, take care of them financially. What that meant was not allowing his children to struggle finding employment or housing or even struggle paying bills. It all sounded to me, when he told me, it sounds very noble and magnanimous on his part, carrying that load. But in reality, what my friend was doing, he was backpacking. He was carrying what he shouldn't. Knowing what we should be carrying and what we shouldn't is not always an easy thing to discern, though. My friend wanted to help his children, but he wound up later learning that he was enabling them. He undercut the important lessons struggling to make it in life teaches, and his children were worse off for it. Meanwhile, my friend himself, his life became overly heavy and filled with anxiety all the time, very burdensome to carry the load of four new families financially on your back. See, friends, knowing what you are and aren't responsible for can make a huge difference, and it makes all the difference, whether you're backpacking or not. In a very residential section of a town, there was a very bad intersection. In the residential section, where there's homes, very bad intersection. Although it was a very quiet suburban area, there had been a great number of traffic accidents at this one intersection, this one location. Now, there was a very prominent stop sign clearly situated there. No trees, no wires, no poles blocking it. Yet drivers didn't stop. Well, after a few fatal car accidents, the city council decided they wanted to make some changes. So they went and they hired an outside agency, experts, and they received recommendations on how to make the stop sign even more prominent. So they started by installing light bulbs, really bright light bulbs, around that stop sign. Thought that might be it. Well, after 2 years, they still had the same number of accidents happening. They didn't subside. So the next proposal came back from the experts. They recommended installing an audible alarm that would go off as a car approached. Basically, it was a siren that yelled at people to stop, yelling at drivers. Well, to everyone's surprise, the audible siren had no effect. No difference. The lights, then the audible sirens. So finally, the traffic agency said, hold on. They met, and they met with the city council, and they explained, the stop sign at that intersection, that stop sign, that is an informational sign. It gives information. Informational signs advise, they warn, they describe. They said, that's what informational signs do. If you want drivers to stop, you have to move from an informational device to a compliant device. A compliant device makes people obey. They said, okay, well, why don't you tell us a little more about that? Their recommendation was to install train arm crossings. Along with the train arm crossings, they would put retractable spikes in the ground that were there and only went down when the arms were up. They said, that will force people to stop. Well, the people who lived in the area were like, I think we've gone too far. Even the city council said, I think we've gone way beyond what we need to do here. I think we're taking responsibility that really shouldn't be ours. The city council ended the whole project, went back to the stop sign. Because the truth was, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with the original simple stop sign. It did everything it's supposed to do. It told people to stop. As far as responsibility goes, that stop sign could not own people's obedience and it could not own people's adherence to the traffic laws. If it did, that would be backpacking. Carrying responsibility you shouldn't. Yes, the sad part is that stop sign continues to witness a lot of calamity. That stop sign continues to witness a lot of pain and a lot of bad decisions. And my guess would be if that stop sign was alive and had a heart, well, that heart would have been broken many, many times over the years of what it witnessed happening right at its feet. Telling people to stop. The truth is, that stop sign cannot and should not carry responsibility that is supposed to be carried by others, the drivers. If you are not enjoying life, you may very well be backpacking. Maybe you're carrying someone else's load. When the Bible clearly tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, each person should carry your own load. Now, gang, sure, we help one another. Of course we help one another. And yes, we do all that we can to help others. But Galatians 5, the Bible shows us there are responsibilities that each and every person must own for themselves. And if we don't recognize that, if we don't honor that, if we don't allow people to own their lives, it will lead us to a place where God didn't want us to go, and you're not going to enjoy life. That leads us nicely into speaking about where God wants us to go. If you are not enjoying life, you may be backpacking in a desert that you are not supposed to be in. Point two, you're backpacking in a place you are not supposed to be in. Now, I got the privilege. I talked to my niece, Becky, this week, and she allowed me to share her story, very graciously agreed for me to share her story with you, and I want to share this with you. Becky was a superstar in college. Superstar. She was a superstar academically, and Becky was a superstar spiritually. Her lifelong dream was to be a school teacher. And she actually had a very strong desire to help in a little rural school district. Specifically, your one-room schoolroom. That was her dream, to work in a one-room schoolroom and help kids of all ages. Well, God brought about an opportunity that was incredible. And it was perfect. There was a small one-room classroom in Alaska that needed a teacher. Well, guess what? All the stars aligned, allowing Becky to get that job and go there. Everything was perfect. We all prepared for this incredible adventure that God was sending Becky on. Months passed by, and as the day approached, boxes, huge boxes, were mailed up to Alaska. Preparations were completed, and excitement ruled the day. We all wished Becky well. She put on her big old backpack and loaded that pack with Jesus, and she loaded it with the Holy Spirit, and off she went. First on a plane across the country, a big jet to California, then a much smaller plane to the Great North, and finally a puddle jumper plane that took her to her little town and her new undertaking. Now, when Becky arrived in Alaska, the one-room schoolroom classroom, it indeed was there. Just as promised. That schoolroom, that one-room schoolroom was there, just like they promised. But that was the only thing that they promised that came about. That was the only thing that really worked the way it was supposed to, the way we were told. As Becky backpacked her way through her new world, she was quickly confronted by all the realities that were conveniently not mentioned. Dangerous living conditions with innumerable safety issues. Contaminated drinking water. Non-existent school district leadership and administration. And I can go on and on and on with this list. How could this be? How could this be? All the right steps were taken. I watched her. I walked her by the hand. She did everything right. Everything was prayed about. God seemed to have supplied four strong green lights when it came to, is this line up with what's written in his word? Yes, green light, bing. Hey, is this what God says to you in your heart when you pray about it? Bing, yeah, green light. Are the circumstances lining up? Bing, great. Circumstances are great. Are you getting confirmation from other spirit-filled believers? Bing, green light. So how did a life lived well and a life lived with unbelievable joy become a person who's not enjoying life? Well, gang, those answers, those would have to come as God revealed them little by little in the future ahead. But one thing was for sure, and Becky knew it standing in Alaska. She was backpacking in a place where she's not supposed to be in. Gang, sometimes we don't get to know why things have happened. Sometimes we don't get to know that. Sometimes we don't get to know why things are happening in the moment. And sometimes we don't get to know why things are going to happen in the future. But even without those answers, God will make it clear to you, you just don't belong where you are at. That much you know. You're backpacking in a place you don't belong, and answers or no answers, you need to get out. Friends, everything God does is about way more than you. Everything that God does is about way more than your immediate moment you're living in. And everything God does is about way more than your own private world. God's ways are higher than your ways. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We may not always act perfectly, but God does. We may not always get things right, but God does. For whatever reason, whether God orders it up in our life, whether we missed a turn, we can wind up, gang, backpacking on a path that God wants us to get off to. Becky did, and it was exactly what God wanted her to do. That story that I have told, I have counseled several times since that event happened, and I will go back to that story and tell people, this is what happened to my niece. And they'll be amazed. They didn't know. But it explains perfectly where they're at. Somehow, you're just not where you're supposed to be. Yeah, but God put me here. I get it. God may have put you there. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. Doesn't matter. You don't need to be there. You need to get out of there and say, whatever the past, whatever it is, I know I just need to move now. Gang, you're backpacking in a place you don't belong, and answers or no answers, you need to get out. Maybe you're hearing this tonight, and this is resonating with you. Maybe you're in a job that's going nowhere, and you're walking in a desert, and it doesn't seem like it has any kind of ending. You may be backpacking where you shouldn't be. Maybe you have a friendship that is not leading you closer to Jesus. It's in fact pulling you away from Jesus. I'll tell you right now, you're backpacking where you shouldn't be backpacking. Maybe you have made some financial decisions that are draining the joy out of your life and your bank account. Could be backpacking where you shouldn't be. Friends, the journey to enjoying life when you're backpacking where you shouldn't be, the key to enjoying life is having the courage to admit that you're where you shouldn't be and change your direction towards solution. Backpacking is not always an easy malady to diagnose, gang. After all, we are getting somewhere, right? We're not sitting put. We're not stuck. We're backpacking. We're moving. But we're walking where we are not enjoying life. And when God has life to the full waiting for you, you want to get to that path and that place. Okay, we have covered when you're backpacking, carrying things you shouldn't. You're backpacking in a place you're not supposed to be. Someone comes up to me and says, Pastor Drew, I'm not enjoying life. I'm not enjoying life. I said, well, maybe point three. Maybe you're backpacking with the wrong supplies. Maybe you got that yogurt and diet soda, like I have. My backpack adventure up Jenny Shump Mountain was bound to be problematic. My one day, my big hiking adventure, my backpacking adventure, bound not to work. When I opted to not carry any water. Who wants water? I decided instead to load that backpack with Funyuns, gummy bears, and Kit Kats. Friends, on the road to God's celestial city, we need to have the right supplies. The two most vital supplies you have to take with you are God's word and prayer. Let's first look at God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. God means what he says in his word. God means what he says. What he says goes. That's it. You ain't going to change it. It ain't wrong. It's the deal. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. Oh, it'll cut through all the nonsense. Cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Friends, if you are trying to walk through life without God's word, you are not going to enjoy life. And that is because each of us lives by answers to questions that we've already have in our heart. We have answers in our heart that we stand on, and we are doing that to this day. Doesn't matter who you are, you are living with an answer to this question. Why am I here? Why am I here? You have an answer in your heart. Why am I here? There is no reason for me to be here. Well, that's your answer. Why are you here? I'm here to make a lot of money. That's your answer. You have an answer and you're living by it. The second question is, how do I determine right or wrong? You've already answered that in your heart. You have an answer and you're living by it. How do I determine right or wrong? Well, what I do for many of us backing through life, we think, well, I can find happiness wherever I want. For some of us, we think we're here to find as much happiness in life as we can and to procure as much comfort and contentment as I can. That's what most people believe when they answer that question. I have a friend in Bible college who came out of a very, very extensive party life. This was many years ago in Bible college. I'll never forget my buddy Tony, and he was like a rumpled kind of right off the street guy. Smart guy, but wild. And I'll never forget what he said in class one day when this question came up. We were talking about these questions. He said, you know what? Before I met Jesus, my goal in life was to drink as much beer as I possibly could and chase as many women as I could get. That was his answer to how he was living life. And at the time, I just shook my head. I was sitting next to him like, oh. But in the years since then, I have found that my friend Tony, his reason for living when he didn't know Jesus, that's not so isolated. That's not so rare, what he said. He was brave enough to say it. Most people aren't. Church, know this. Each and every person has an answer to what they are living right now. Every one of you have an answer in your heart to your purpose in life. Like I said, whether there is no purpose or I want to make myself happy. I want to make my kids happy. I want to leave my mark. I want to leave a legacy. You've got an answer you're living by. And you also have an answer to how you determine right and wrong. I go by my feelings with right and wrong. I go by what feels right. I trust my gut. That's how I know. Or I go by what my favorite celebrities say. Yeah. Other people say, you know what? I follow philosophy, and the philosophy actually that I picked up in my life that I've heard through songs. Certain things I sing. That's kind of what I live by. Or I go by what I learned that's in my head just throughout my life. Well, here's the thing. God's word gives us the answer to both of those questions. Our purpose, if you want to know why you're here, why were you created? Your purpose is to do all the work God has for you and enjoy the life he has given you. That's your purpose on earth. That's why you're here. Do all God has for you. That's saying a lot. God has a lot of things for you to do. And enjoy the life. Let your light shine. Enjoy the life he's given you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork. Here it is. Created in Christ Jesus, born again, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a lot of work he wants you to get done. It might just be being nice to somebody. It might be you are going to raise up the next theologian as your child. I don't know. God has work for you to do. As for determining right and wrong, which a lot of us, I'm going by my gut, go by what I feel, go by what society says, go by what the government says. Or that's a big one. Well, if the government says that, that's it. Well, as for determining right and wrong, look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should follow. Friends, to access our God, we must have prayer in our backpacks. We know God's word is important. We talk about that. We also have to have prayer in our backpacks. Prayer should not scare you. It should not be something that I don't get prayer. I don't know. Here's what it is. Talk to God like he's standing right in front of you, like he's your buddy, like he's the person you know, like he's your brother, sister, your friend. Talk to him. And prayer is two-way communication with God. You talk to him, he'll talk to you. You never know when God's going to speak to you. God will impress something on your heart. God will have something jump out of his word as you're reading. And you say, that's for me. That's exactly what God needed to tell me. It could be in a worship song, something you hear on a radio, talking with somebody. It could be a sign on a wall that God uses to say, look at that, there it is. Just had someone come to me before the service, ran up to me with a phone, and said, I had been talking to this person, and they said, look what God did today. This came up out of nowhere, and it's exactly confirms what we were talking about. I said, prayer. That's prayer? Yeah. Listening to God is prayer. Now, without these two items in your backpack, you will find life feels an awful lot like a pinball machine. And you are the pinball, and you are bouncing off things, and you are being sent in all kind of directions, only to get bounced off again into more and more zaniness. That is why we need God's word and prayer in the backpacks. Got to pack the right things. Lastly, church, I want to share a point that Mr. Robert added this to the message. This was a beautiful three-point sermon until Mr. Robert messed it up. He did. He came right in and added a point four. So now you got point four. It's excellent. I love this. Mr. Robert, I said, you should use that in a message. And I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm stealing it. It's too good. Point four. You may, if you're not enjoying life, you may be backpacking as a nomad. You know what a nomad is, right? Man without a home. Jeremiah Johnson. Yeah. We have all been through, all of us, gang, we've all been through a very rough 14 months. This has been weird because it hasn't been a real volatile kind of thing we went through. It was kind of a Chinese water torture. You ever remember those? They sit you down, they'd have water, one little drop of water on your head, and it don't stop. And after a while, you go nuts. Well, that's where a lot of people, Carissa's there. Carissa's like, yep, Chinese water torture. That's what we've been going through for 14 months. And probably the biggest hit people have suffered is the loss of connection with others. That is huge. Unfortunately, it has hit God's universal church as well. The suffering of the loss of connection with others. God's attendance in churches, I looked it up, has plummeted terribly over these 14 months. People aren't seeing each other. Followers of God, you are not designed to backpack through life by yourself. You are not designed to be a nomad. I know God's enough. I know it's just me and Jesus, we're going to be good. I get that. But the Bible makes it very clear that we are to be part of a group of people. That's the plan. It's part of the people. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. We want everyone to be safe, that's for sure, but it's the connection, whether it be on the internet, whether it be on the phone, whether it be whatever way you can connect, we can't be shut out from people's lives. I shall never forget a man I met 30 years ago. I'll even tell you his name, Mark Smith. He was a professional house painter, and I met him at the church that Kelly and I were attending at the time. As I got to know him, I learned that he had been at this church that me and Kelly were attending his whole life. He never left that church, and he was probably 45 years old. He told me, "Drew, I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly over that time, but I always stayed. I always stayed because in my heart, I felt God was bigger. God's bigger than people. And you know, God irons things out." That's what he told me. And as I listened to him or drove home that day, I have to tell you, I was a little bit jealous of his story. I would love for that to have been my story. My story is much different. My story is a story of attending 8 different churches in my life, all at different points. My story isn't wrong. My story isn't necessarily wrong, or it isn't even bad. And sometime God will direct us to go elsewhere. That happens. But I do believe there is a blessing involved with having continuity in a church family. Even more so, being a part of, serving, and being important in, an integral part of a church family. I believe there's a huge blessing in that. Backpacking as a nomad is not God's method for growing us spiritually. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. As each part does its own special work. He's talking about each person in the church. As each one of your part, as each of you do your own special work, it helps the other parts, it helps the other people grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Remember, wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. Gang, no one will walk to full maturity in Christ by themselves. The Bible tells us only participation in the full life of a body of believers will strengthen us to that level. The Bible uses the phrases one another and each other over 50 times in the New Testament. One another or each other. We are commanded, some of those 50, we are commanded to love each other. That's being with each other. Love each other. We are commanded to pray for each other. Encourage each other. Admonish each other. Greet each other. Serve each other. Teach each other. Accept each other. Honor each other. Bear each other's unexpected burdens. Forgive each other. Submit to each other. Be devoted to each other. And there are more. If you're backpacking like a nomad, you're not enjoying any of the blessings that God's church has for you. And that is because the interactions, the relationships with each other fulfill us and grow us. We learn to love. We learn to pray. We learn to encourage. We learn to admonish, greet, teach, accept, honor, bear, forgive, submit, and devote by actually doing these things with one another. Is it messy? You bet. Is it difficult? Sure, any relationship is difficult. Will we make mistakes and will we fall down? Absolutely, guaranteed. But gang, that's how we get strong, the Bible says. That's how we learn to enjoy life. God has given us a real blessing in our church family. But it takes love, it takes grace, and it takes stick-to-itiveness to access it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I want to close by worshiping God one last time and giving you the opportunity to kind of take a little spiritual check of yourself and see, am I enjoying life? Lord, if I'm not, maybe I need to go back over this series. Every single one of these are on Facebook, right there. If you don't like Facebook, you can go right over to our website, WestbridgeCC, for Community Church, westbridgecc.org. Put that on, look at any of the messages, and say, you know what, Lord? I want to be the light that shines bright. I want to do all the things you have for me to do that were laid down before I was even born. You had these assignments you want me to do. And I want to enjoy the life you've given us. Show me how. Maybe I'm backpacking. Maybe I'm stuck somewhere. Maybe I'm spiritually dead. Maybe I'm tethered to my own hopes and dreams instead of God's. It's there for all of us to continue to learn from. Let's stand and worship God together. Miss Kelly introduced me to this song today, and two lines kind of floored me. We started out very early in verse 2. He says, this is the house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. We believe. We really, really, really believe. Our hearts are full of faith. We believe. And then these two lines. You have our full attention. And you have the final say. Oh, that we would live that way. Where God has our full attention. We don't just add him into a certain part of our week. We don't just give him a small compartment of our day. He has our full attention. Our hearts are full of faith. And what he says, that's the final word. You have the final say. We read that from before in our scripture reading. I pray that each of us would be able to do just that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do what you've called us to do. We have received a lot of teaching. We have really dug into your word and looked at what the Bible says about things that can trip us up and cause us to stop enjoying life. Now, Lord, take us forward in our process of learning to enjoy life all the more. Even in a time, the last 14 months has been difficult. Help us to be people who are grateful, who are thankful, and who are living life to the full with hearts full of faith. You have our full attention. And we give you the final say in everything in our life. No matter what you tell us to do, you have the final say. If we're where we shouldn't be, if we've gotten to a place that we shouldn't be, help us to be brave enough, no matter what it took us to get us there, to say, I got to get out of here. Because God don't want me here. Help us to pack our backpacks with the right things and not to be backpacking with the wrong things. Help us to look at your word and give it the final say, and help us to speak to you and listen to you loud and clear. Help us, Lord, to know what you want us to do every step of the way, what we should own, what we should not own. Lord, help us to know that. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, but it's our desire to live lives that matter for your kingdom, because we know only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You have the final say. Once again, we submit ourselves to you. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. Next week, we will be here. Westbridge is up and running next week. Not electronically. Be here at the barn. Family night. We've got some family, happy family things to talk about. We'll see you next week. We love you guys. Great job.